Book of Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to start reading in verse, let's start in verse 20. Verse 20, we'll begin reading there. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn something today and make a difference in our life. Lord, the goal is to be like Christ, to put on the new man, put off the old. So help us to that end, we pray. Help me to be clear, and Lord, help us to learn and help us to understand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while. I think I'm going to do this I'm going to deal with some emotional issues that Christians have to deal with over the next few Sundays. And so I thought I'd start here. And the first one would be anger. I'm just thinking about that because there's, with all the crazy things that are going on in our culture and everything, there's a lot of anger. And you know, Brother Larry and I are going in these lessons in the classes in the jail, and then his other classes that he's trying to get established and started and everything like that, these support groups and things like that. And the idea is to deal with these things and learn a biblical way to deal with them. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in a person's life that can cause anger. Family problems. Some of the greatest anger is that I see now, and is anger. I know of a family who's, and I've seen it time and time again, when a parent or a loved one dies, there's a lot of anger between the siblings and things like that. And then there's so many things, so many marriages break up because of unresolved anger and issues and things like that. A lot of people are in jail because of their anger. I was talking to April, and I don't know any names of it and everything like that, but April was telling me last night she had accidentally called me, so I called her back and find out what she was wanting to do, and she started talking to me. And evidently over in the Latimer area, and I don't know any details about it, I haven't looked up any news or anything, but over evidently in the Latimer area yesterday, a man was killed, murdered in front of his 11-year-old son. And she spent several hours there because the boy passed out or fainted during all the confrontation and everything. She spent hours there comforting that boy, trying to comfort that boy. And I'm not going to go into all the things about it, other than the fact that the boy was sitting there crying and everything, wondering, because his mother and his father had split up, and for some reason they were over there, and the mother had a boyfriend, and they were over at the house for some reason, I don't know, or maybe dad was going to pick him up or whatever. But the boyfriend and the boy's father, her ex-husband, they got into an argument, and the guy said, well, let's go outside and discuss this, because the kids were in there. And the guy said okay, and he turned around, and the boyfriend reached in his pocket, pulled out a gun, and shot him twice in the chest, murdered him right in front of the little boy. And just because of anger, evidently the mama's not a very good sort of person, because she evidently just didn't really have any compassion on the boy and everything like that. And he was in there saying, "Who's going to love me now?" It's just a tragic thing. Had that happened, because there was anger in there, and somebody let the anger go to their hands, and it went out, and then it went out the barrel of a gun and killed a man. A lot of people died because of anger. A lot of children have been abused because of anger. A lot of marriages have fallen apart because of anger. A lot of relationships have been damaged for generations because of anger. We always talk about the feuds and everything like that, the old time feuds, the Hatfields and McCoys and all that type of stuff. Well, they still go on. A lot of things are destroyed because of anger. A lot of people, I know a man who had a fella who used to come to church, and his son got out of church and then got mixed up with a woman that was married. And the husband came over to the house one day where they were having a barbecue, trying to get his wife to come back to him, and then threatening this church member. And the dad of the church member that we'd been trying to get come to church for years and years, he pulled a gun and shot him. He's died in jail. He died in prison because of anger. But it causes more tolls than just that. People's health it gets ruined by anger. People get mad and they frustrated and they get angry, and it just eats them up from the inside out. Causes extra stress on the body. And anger was given to you by God. It's an emotion. There's a proper place for it. But when we talk about fallen man oftentimes becomes ruled by emotions. That's why we're not supposed to be ruled by our emotions. We're supposed to be yielded to the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice something in this passage of Scripture. In verse 26, he says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, before we get into any of this stuff, I want you to understand something. Anger is an emotion that is a normal, natural emotion, and it has a proper place. But its place is not to rule you. There's two ways. It's kind of a double-edged sword in that one verse. There are two things that you need to see. One, when it comes to anger, anger should not go unresolved. Anger should not go unresolved. All right? A good rule of thumb, you'll find a lot of people that do marriage counseling, especially Christian marriage counseling, but even in secular marriage counseling, they will say, never go to bed angry. Never leave anything at all, at the best of your ability, unresolved before you go to bed. Why? Because it that way it doesn't fester. And there's some wisdom in that. But then on the flip side, there are some things you ought to stay angry about. But that nonetheless, that anger should not control you. And that anger should not dictate your behavior toward others. And it shouldn't destroy you. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Matter of fact, I'm going to actually look it up. I'm going to use some technology. I'm going to actually look that verse up. But the reason is I want to give it to you so you can see it in the proper context. But okay, Psalm 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. And so the truth of that is that God is angry every day. But let me ask you a question. Do you see God's anger every day? Do you see God's anger? If God let His anger, if He were as we were, there wouldn't be a human being left alive. It would have been done. And so God, even though He holds His anger, and He's angry at the wicked every day and the things that they do, and they are an affront to Him, yet still He shows mercy. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? And there is a day when God's wrath is going to be. There's going to be a judgment. God is righteously angry with the wicked every day. He's righteously angry with the things that you and I may do, even as Christians, that we shouldn't do. One of the things He's probably angry about is the way we let anger cause us to sin. So God gave you anger, but your anger is not an excuse for sin. The reason why there's so much sin that comes from anger is because people are overcome by it and it is being misused. Right? So many things that people misuse. Now, if I were to tell you, for example, let me give you an example here of something that we need to look at this and see it, understand it better. But if I were to say to you, all right, and talk to you about the intimate relationship between a man and a woman, or as they say in modern parlance today, talk to you about sex. All right. Now there's a difference between that relation with a husband and wife and that relationship with a person that's not a husband and wife, isn't it? All right. It's fornication and adultery outside of marriage. Correct? Amen. Now sex, that relationship between a man and a woman was instituted by whom? God, right? It was instituted by God. So therefore, when God made it and He pronounced it what? Good. So in its proper context, it's good. And we don't have any problem when we see somebody shacking up or committing adultery or something like that as a Christian. We don't have any problem saying, that's wrong. That is an abuse of God's gift, right? Now, why don't we do that about anger? Its effects are just as devastating. Well, because it's an emotion. But love is an emotion too, isn't it?
at some point. Yes, love is a choice, but there are emotions that are so associated with affection, if you will, if you want to say that. Affection. That's an emotion. It's born of emotion, so there's a proper way to use it, isn't there? Says it's a proper way to use anger, too. There's a lot, and I'm not going to spend a long time talking to you about all the verses of anger, but there are literally hundreds of there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9, it says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." In other words, you shouldn't get angry quickly. And that is the number one thing that most people do. They get angry quickly. And their anger becomes something that controls them. And they begin to behave and make choices that are dictated by their anger. They say things they shouldn't say. They do things they shouldn't do. Now think about that. You know, we are, it's told us in our text, it says that you put off concerning, in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes down the list of things we ought not do, such as lying and using anger as an excuse for sin. And we do use anger for an excuse for sin. How many times have you heard or told somebody else, "Why did you do that?" "Well, I was mad." As if that's a justification. It's not a justification. It's just as much an abuse of God's purpose for anger as fornication is an abuse, an adultery, or an abuse of that affection that should be natural between a man and a woman that are married. And notice I did say man and woman. I thought I'd throw that in for extra case. Anybody ever had a doubt? The simple fact is, so many, and by the way, that's something that perversion of the definition of marriage by our government, I'm mad about, and I'm angry about. I'm going to stay angry about. You should too. I'm not going to apologize. But that doesn't mean I'm going to let that anger control me to do wicked things. That doesn't mean every time I see a sodomite, I'm going to try to hurt them or that I hate them or anything like that. No, I don't hate anybody. I'm not supposed to. I don't have to join in with him, and I don't have to give him my approval, and I'll do neither. They need to get saved just like everybody else, and they can indeed be saved. But the devil wants us mad at him, and he wants us to hate him, and he wants us to put him away and be so repulsed by him and let that anger go out to be something else to where we never take the time to talk to him. Never share the gospel. But anyway, we go on to that. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So there's two places, but he says, neither give place to the devil. So that's there for a purpose. You're sitting there, and if you allow it, your anger will give place to the devil. When your anger causes you to sin, you are giving place to the devil. When your anger becomes an excuse for sin. But we're to put off the old man. What's that? That allowing anger, using anger wrongly, and put on the new man, which is what? The way God is angry. Somebody does you wrong. By the way, let me ask you a question. A lot of the anger in our country has to do with what our government's doing and politics and this and that. Anybody here ever been disappointed by a politician? I've been disappointed by every stinking one of them. People are all up in arms because all these people that President Trump appointed to the Supreme Court, they don't seem to be ruling the way they thought they would rule. A lot of people feel betrayed and upset and angry about it. But you know what? I get angry about some things that they do. I get upset about it in a little bit, in a sense of anger, you know, knowing it's not right. But you know what? It's not going to ruin my day. It's not going to sit there and make me boil inside and seethe and everything else. You know why? Because I know who controls everything. And I know His will is going to be done. And everything that happens is just another step toward that. And I'm not saying we don't get involved. I'm not saying we don't do it. No, quite the opposite. We do everything we can to influence this country for righteousness' sake. That includes voting. That includes writing, talking to congressmen and people. I don't know about you. When's the last time you actually wrote a letter or sent an email to your congressman? Or all you do is sit around and stew about it and get mad about it? When's the last time you called? Well, it won't do any good. How do you know? But the simple fact is that if people write, it makes a difference. People hear from them, they hear that. They want votes to stay in power, don't they? Enough people say something, it'll get an action. When enough people hear about it, it gets action. If you don't believe me, look at how they crawfish whenever the news media gets a hold of something. Why do they crawfish? Why do they sit there and genuflect and everything to the news media? Because they know that a lot of people are going to hear about it, and they're worried it could affect their chances of re-election. So it does make a difference, doesn't it? But a lot of people are so angry about the politics that it just destroys their day. They can't have any joy, any peace, anything like that. You get angry like that, you're giving place to the devil. Because it doesn't matter what's going to happen. I know what's going to take place. Why is God's angry with the wicked every day, but He's not concerned or worried or fretting or anything? Why? Well, because He's God. There's nothing that man's going to do that's going to stop His will from being done. And there's no reason for you and me to get fret about everything. We do what we can. We step forward. We trust in the Lord. We go on and live our lives and do right. We don't spend our time being all angry and upset about everything that they're doing in the sense that it destroys our health and everything else. Why? Because we know how things come out. Do you believe that? Do you believe God's word or don't you? But preacher, it's affecting me here and now. Yes, and you're
no different than all the other saints of God who've had to deal with the government. We're not at the point where they're trying to kill us. You know? You know, Nero used to take the Christians and sew them up in bags and everything, and sew them up in animal skins, and then put pitch and tar all over them and light them afire. They used to take people and sew them in animal skins and turn wild animals on them. They used to stake out people and spread honey all over them and leave them out there to die of exposure and animal bites and ants and everything else that would come on, and they would do that. I mean, there's a long line list of things that were done, brutalities that have been done to Christians and people have done over time that are wicked and wrong. And then we got, you know, we have so many things that we have in our own culture and everything like that, but that have been done over the years. But the simple fact is, we don't have to worry about that right now, at least not at the moment. I'm not saying you shouldn't get angry about it. I'm saying the anger shouldn't cause you to sin. That our anger should be dealt with and should be regulated like God's is. You know? And when God does decide to show His wrath, it's going to be something unlike anything this world's ever seen. And notice what He says. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is, which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I know sometimes it's frustrating to do that, but you know what? A lot of people that are Christians, professing Christians, have you ever seen somebody professing to be a Christian get mad and start cussing? Be angry and sin not. Trying to tell you, there's a way you can learn to yield to the Spirit. You can learn to overcome that anger. You don't have to be controlled by it. He says this, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How many times have you grieved the Holy Spirit of God by your anger and being unkind and ugly and wrong? Then it says in verse 31, let all bitterness, anger causes bitterness, by the way. Unresolved anger causes bitterness, doesn't it? And wrath, that is the pouring out of anger. And anger itself. In other words, that type of anger that controls you and causes you to sin. And clamor, that's a lot of noise, isn't it? You ever known people that get angry and scream and holler? That's clamor. And evil speaking. There's a good one. Most ugly things are said as a result of anger. And you know, sometimes when we have to pay attention about all this, and I'm just like you, I have to pay attention about it. We get angry about things, and it's really easy to say ugly things, isn't it? And you may feel perfectly calm when you say it because you're not face to face with the person, but you're apart, and then you say something ugly and unkind. you're discussing something, you go too far. Say something you don't need to say. Evil speaking. Comes from anger, unresolved anger. Undealt with anger, not dealt with in a godly manner, not put in its proper perspective. Now, can I help you put your anger in a proper perspective? Now, if you're lost today, I can't help you. I cannot help you if you're lost today. But you know what? We're supposed to be the ones that believe God's Word. We're supposed to be the ones that believe that the Spirit of God will enable us to live righteously in this present world. We're the ones that are supposed to believe these things. We're the ones that are supposed to believe that God's will is going to be done no matter what man does. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. We don't have to sit there and I don't have to try to punish the wicked. God's going to take care of that. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 8. And let me give you your perspective about dealing with anger or any other emotion but that way. But in chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's your perspective. If nobody's actions can separate you from God's love, why would you allow your emotions to put up a barrier between you and the Lord? Doesn't make any sense, does it? I understand we all get angry, but there's a right way to get angry. Try getting angry at the situation . You know, the old timey preacher said, was talking to a fella, and he was talking to him about the devil, and the fella said, I don't believe in the devil. And he said, well, who's doing all this devilment? And it's not the people that you should get angry about, it's the one behind it. Yes. Can you get angry with people? Yes, but put it in its proper perspective. I've used the illustration a lot of times. If we were standing out there and you were sitting around there and I come along and I was looking at your foot and I stepped on your foot, you'd get angry at me. But if somebody was blind and walked around and had a cane, and they were walking around with their cane, couldn't see and everything, and then they stepped on your foot, the pain would be the same. Matter of fact, if he is heavier than I was, it might be worse. But your attitude would be different, wouldn't it? Well, he was blind. He didn't know what he was doing. What did Jesus pray from Calvary's cross? Father, forgive them for what? They know not what they do. They don't know the consequences. They don't know the damage they're doing to themselves. Same thing with anger. People don't know the consequences. When people sin, they don't know the consequences. But we do know the consequences, don't we? So if God has given us something like an emotion like anger, it ought to be used God's way. Isn't that the whole point of being saved? To come back into the point where we are now living our lives and using ourselves and our bodies as God would have us do it, not the way we would do it. So, but preacher, I don't want to bottle it all up in anger. I'm not talking about bottling all up. If it's bothering you so much, why don't you get on your knees and pour out your heart and your tears before God? If you need an emotional release, there's the place to do it. Nobody's telling you to boil it up. I mean, bottle it up inside you and let it eat you alive. That's what we're trying to prevent. Does God's anger eat him alive? No, because he knows it's going to come out all right in the end. He's not powerless, and he knows he's not powerless. Neither are you or I. We're not powerless. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Think about that. Anger is God-given, but it is one of the most misused things of man. There's a lot of pop psychology out there. There's a fellow that came out one day and put a thing out there and said, anger is fear in disguise. That's a lie. Anger is not always born of fear. Can fear cause anger? Sure it can. People justify anger all the time, but it's not always about fear. But anger can have a lot of different sources. One of the things that makes that people angry is to feel powerless. We're never powerless. Never powerless. Not as Christians, you're not. So if you're having trouble with anger, you need to be honest with yourself. God's given us the means to deal with anger, but if you're a Christian, our dealing with anger starts with a choice, doesn't it? Always starts with a choice. So I just can't get over my anger. Then you don't believe God, because God says you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break till the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for all you've given. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to deal with anger in a godly manner. To be angry, but sin not. Lord, to let go of those things we ought to let go and resolve those things we should resolve and be angry in a godly manner when it comes to things that we ought to be angry about, to deal with those things in a manner that would be pleasing to you, in a manner that would be like you. Help us, we pray. Lord, pray you bless the rest of the service today. In Jesus' name, amen.